Hey, what's going on? Happy Friday. Nick Kirby here. Welcome to Chatterbox Reds, proudly sponsored by DSC Commodities. Well, the Reds were off on Thursday, but coming up in just a bit, I chatted with Bryce Spalding about the Reds minor leagues as the Lookouts, Dragons, and Tortugas all have their season openers later tonight. And later on, I'll also preview the Reds' upcoming series against the Mets. But first, I want to tell you about our proud sponsor, and that is, of course, Deep South Commodities. DSC is a leader in renewable commodities for biofuel production, specializing in used cooking oil collection, aggregation, and sales. Visit www.deepsouthcommodities.com for more information. Thanks, as always, to our friends at DSC. Well, just two NL Central teams in action on Thursday. Pirates won again. They beat the Nats 7-4. Cardinals beat the Marlins 8-5. The Brewers and Cubs were both off, so that puts the Pittsburgh Pirates in first place, 6-1 in the NL Central. Brewers are 4-1. The Reds and Cubs both 4-2, and the Cardinals are 4-4. All right, well, let's jump right into it. This is my conversation with Bryce Spalding, and coming up a little later on, I'll tell you a little bit more about the Reds' upcoming series against the New York Mets. All right, I'm joined now by Bryce Spalding to talk some Reds baseball and, more importantly for Bryce, some Reds minor league baseball. Let's start off, Bryce. The big league club 4-2 start, just won a series in Philadelphia. The starting pitching has been fantastic to start the year. How are you feeling about the 4-2 Cincinnati Reds?
Yeah, the vibes are up. It's always a good thing. You hate the slow starts. I felt like they've started slow pretty much every year, except for 2021. I think they started like 5-1. So it's nice to see. And I think it's nice to see even kind of overcoming some injuries. I mean, winning in Philadelphia is not easy. I don't care what time of the year it is. I don't care who you're facing. But yeah, I mean, getting the win over Wheeler, that was a really big kind of confidence booster, to especially after the rough game on Tuesday. And kind of to follow it up with a good performance, it felt really good. And like you said, starting pitching has really kind of anchored this team so far, which is cool to see. And obviously hope that continues moving forward.
All right, so the Mets come into town. They are 1-5. Bryce, how thrilled were you that they won that second game of the doubleheader and weren't coming into Great American Ballpark with the number one payroll in the sport and 0-6?
Yeah, that's what I tweeted. I said, I've never been happier for a Mets win. It felt amazing. And that team's not 0-6 bad. They're really not. And the Reds are going to get probably their three best arms. So it's going to be a tough series this weekend. I mean, their whole lineup can leave the yard too. So, I mean, you pair that with GABP. I never enjoy having to face Pete Alonso 12 times in one weekend in Cincinnati. So, yeah, they feel due. Lindor's played horrible so far. Pete's not been great, so it's gonna be tough. So I'm excited to see how they kind of embrace the challenge after their first quote unquote official off day. I guess you can count the day after opening day, but they still felt riding high from that day. So we'll see how they bounce back.
Yeah, and three pretty quality pitchers, or at least three pitchers with some upside. Quintana's pretty well owned the Reds throughout his career. Severino's a guy who certainly was some upside. Chamanea, guy that the Mets are really banking on having some upside, paying him $28 million over 2 years. But you look, Bryce, at the Fangraphs playoff projection, you say, yeah, Mets, they stink. Well, their playoff odds are 22%. The Reds are only 29%. So definitely, like you said, they're a lot better than their 1-5 record. But I'm very thankful they got that last win, so they weren't coming in here just completely due. All right, let's move on to some minor league baseball. Let's start with the only team that is in action, but that's going to be no more. As you listen to this podcast on Friday, all the other Reds minor league affiliates, at least the main minor league affiliates, will be starting up on Friday. But the Louisville Bats, they got a nice win, 5-4 and 11 innings in Gwinnett against the Stripers. That's the Braves AAA affiliate. Carson Spires, nice outing from him. Five innings, just two hits, gave up two runs, walked two, struck out seven. This is the kind of pitcher that we just really love as a really quality depth piece for the Reds.
Yeah, you got to have him. You got to have him. And he throws a lot of strikes, throws a lot of pitches. So he's the type of guy that in other years, we'd be like, why is this guy not in the rotation? We'd be begging for him to be in Cincinnati. So what a cool thing it is to have him and Phillips and Richardson and even guys like Santillan and Buchnevich and like quality arms that Louisville's running out there. We're not running out, no offense to the Kevin Greggs and Ross Ohlendorfs of the world. Like these are quality arms that can help the big league team. So it's definitely, Louisville's been playing pretty well. Their offense hasn't been great, but pitching's been really good down there.
And Tony Santillan, as mentioned, another perfect inning on Thursday night. I know me and you have already talked about it, so I won't belabor that, but just looking forward to this guy getting a chance because he 1,000% deserves it. But hey, credit to the Reds big league club and the building of it, because maybe even more so than a guy like Carson Spires, a guy like Tony Santillan would definitely be on most bullpens that I've seen in my lifetime with the Cincinnati Reds. So as you mentioned, Bryce, the offense has struggled. One guy that has not, though, is Connor Capel. He was 2-for-3, hit a home run. He's already got 2 home runs. He's got an OPS over 1,600 early in the season. Is Connor Capel like the if there was anyone that was going to be the next Nick Martini, like he is like fits that exact bill? That's obviously not a likely scenario, but if there's one guy down there that, you know, kind of is a little bit of a journeyman, but has some upside, definitely has some power, it's him, right?
Yeah, definitely. He was decent for the A's the last couple of years. Obviously, it's the A's. Nobody pays attention to him. It's not a lot of high-pressure scenarios, but the guy definitely can hit. He's hitting the big league some as well. So, yeah, he's been good. And Blake Dunn's finding his stride a little bit. I think he had a triple tonight. So he's going to find his way. He's always hit at every level he's been at. So I think the adjustment, the automatic balls and strike system is definitely an adjustment for some guys. And the challenge system. So I think there's a little bit of thinking going on for some of these guys just getting to AAA. So they'll adjust back here soon and be fine. But unfortunately, Hurtubise is hurt. So get some other guys getting some opportunities down there.
Yeah, Blake Dunn, Mike Ford, and Rhys Hines all struggling early in the year. If you look through like some of their stat casts and some of the games that I've watched, most of those guys, I think they all have hit the ball hard at times. I think that they probably should have a little bit better results. Dunn and Hines, probably a little bit too much swing and miss so far in the year. Mike Ford hasn't really had a whole lot of swing and miss. I think he's actually been pretty solid, just hasn't really got the results yet. But we'll keep tracking those guys all year long. But let's move on to the rest of the Reds affiliates. As mentioned, they all start Friday night. So when you hear Chatterbox Reds every night, you'll get 4 quick recaps of each team. We'll do the best we can to kind of fill you in on the top prospects. And, I'm looking forward to, maybe I'll tease this. I'm going to ask you at the end, who's this year's Jacob Hurtubise? Who's the guy that I have no idea who they are right now, but by the time September rolls around, he's going to be front and center on our sheet every night. But let's start with AA Chattanooga. The headlining the pitching is Julian Aguilar and Chase Petty. Offense, not the greatest, especially with Edwin Arroyo out for the year. Tyler Callahan, Austin Callahan, Alan Serta, Austin Hendrick pretty much make it up. Not a whole lot there. What are you looking forward to with this team?
Yeah, it's the pitching for sure. Really good bullpen as well. You mentioned the two frontline guys there in Aguiar and Petty, but I'm excited to see a bullpen of Andrew Moore, Braxton Roxby, my boy, Big Zach Maxwell, Vin Timpanelli, I think is how you say his last name. He's got really good stuff as well. So it's a fun, there's a lot of really good arms there. That's just kind of like the body wave, the Kyle body wave of like whenever he signed a bunch of these really high upside arms. These are those guys. So we're starting to see him kind of progress in the upper levels now, and they all strike out a ton of guys. A lot of them have control issues, but they're fun. So in the end of the rotation there, I really like Sam Benshooter and Thomas Farr. They're two pretty decent arms, college arms that they got here recently. So they're going to pitch a lot, which has been kind of unusual for Chattanooga here in the last couple of years. They've always just hit a ton. So a little bit of a change of pace for the fans in Chattanooga, but I'm still excited about some of those guys. I think Nick Northcutt's a Cincinnati guy. So always rooting on local guys to do well. Obviously Austin Hendrick is one of the more renowned Reds prospects in a lot of ways, good or bad, I guess you could say. But you never know. The guy's like 23 years old. He can still put it together. He's getting another shot in Double A. We'll see how he does. So yeah, there's some fun stories here. I think Chase Petty adjusting to Double A is probably the biggest one. How does he do there? Do we see Chase Petty this year? What's his progression look like? Is he going to go deeper in game? So definitely some interesting headlines in Chattanooga.
Chase Petty's definitely the one player. If I had to pick one player to watch, that I'll be following the closest there. Kind of feels like the offense. There's just a lot of guys that a year ago, 2 years ago, were guys kind of rising up the Reds prospect ranks, mm-hmm. guys that were mentioned a lot that have kind of fallen out of love in prospect circles. Just look at the catchers, Matt Nelson and Daniel Valojin. Both guys that a couple years ago we thought could be potential big league catchers kind of have been a little stagnant in their development. But hey, you know, we see it all the time. Guys, figure it out 1 year and kind of have their breakout years. Got like a Vaughn Johnson. Wasn't he like a top 10 Reds prospect at one point? Jose Torres was a decently ranked prospect. And Alan Serta, I know there were some publications that I think had him like fifth or sixth. So maybe not the sexiest roster, but hey, maybe some guys that can have a breakout season, and looking forward to that.
Yeah, I think another guy too, Tyler Callahan, had a really good end to his year last year, finished year in Double A. So he's another guy exactly like you're talking about. He's I think he was like a top six or seven prospect out of high school. People loved him and really kind of struggled with injuries, struggled. I think COVID kind of set him back a little bit. We'll see what he can do. He had a really good spring too. He impressed the big league club. So I'm excited. There's some, like I said, intriguing storylines there for sure.
Chattanooga, they begin their season at Birmingham, 8 p.m. I love that they have some central time zones. Gets me an hour later, can watch them a little bit later than some of the other teams. So looking forward to that. All right, clearly the prize minor league team of the Red system is the Dayton Dragons. There's so many players with talent in here. You could never mention them all and have a podcast that's not crazy long. First and foremost, Rhett Lauder is making his debut on Friday night, his Reds official debut. He didn't even, or his Reds of Reds, whatever, you know what I'm saying. His debut in the professional debut in the Reds organization. Yeah. There you go. It was a struggle there, but Rhett Lauder, let's just start talking about him. I mean, I just can't wait to watch Rhett Lauder and on the Dayton Dragons, the premier actual broadcast of the Reds minor league system. They broadcast the games better than anyone else.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And we'll get to hear old Tom talk about Rhett, and he does a really great job. They have velocity readings. They've got everything. So I feel bad for these poor high A hitters having to face a guy as polished as Rhett Lauder for these first couple of starts. But I expect he gets the old Andrew Abbott treatment. I think Abbott made like six or seven starts in Dayton. He struck out like 15 guys a game, like legitimately. I think he struck out 15 in one game. So I don't know if Rhett's going to do that. He's not much of a strikeout pitcher, but I expect that they're going to let him do himself. He's going to do his thing, and I'm very excited to watch him tonight.
Yeah, hopefully, selfishly, can Rhett just hang out till about May 12th? They play up in my neck of the woods against Lake County. I really would like to see him pitch in person. I actually did get to see him pitch at the spring breakout game in person, but I'd love to see him pitch. You can really get an up-close view in Lake County. Let's stick with the pitching. Luis May, I think he's a guy that kind of sticks out to me. Javi Rivera had a really nice season last year. Those guys or any other pitchers stand out to you here?
Yeah, big Javi Rivera fan. He's got really good command, a college guy as well. Jared Lyons is a guy they drafted last year. They're pretty high on. He's going to be a starter for them. And then, like you mentioned, Luis May, he throws fuel. It's consistent 100, 102. He doesn't know where it's going majority of the time, but it's electric. And we'll see if they can't refine some of his command. But yeah, that's an interesting staff as well. That's a lot of guys they've drafted recently. Graham Osman, Joseph Menifee, Jared Lyons, Brody Jesse, Bryce Hubbard, Jonathan Harmon, all guys they've drafted in the last 2 years. So, yeah, there's some fun arms there. I really like that pin as well. The Reds have done a really good job of identifying some higher floor arms there.
All right, the offense. It looks like the spring breakout roster. I think there's seven or eight guys that were actually on the spring breakout roster just in this offense. I mean, the Dayton Dragons are legitimately going to have a good prospects on the bench, which is just kind of crazy to think about. I'm just going to kind of run through this in order so I don't really miss anyone. I mean, even the catchers are pretty exciting. Mm-hmm. Cade Hunter and Logan Tanner, having that as a tandem in high A is pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And really like Cade Hunter's bat. I think the Reds do as well. They're going to use him in left field some. I think that's how much they believe in the hit tool. So, yeah, two guys I'm really interested to see. Logan Tanner's the really, really good defensive catcher, second-round pick from Mississippi State a couple years ago. So I think they feel pretty strongly about him and what he can do behind the plate too.
Well, the Reds are off to a great start to the 2024 season, and they are in town every day through next Thursday. So that means you need to make your way down to the ballpark, and the best way to do that is to get tickets through the Game Time app. The Game Time app is now an authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball, which makes getting tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer that it gets to first pitch. With killer last-minute deals, all-in pricing, views from your seat, and their lowest price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets. My personal favorite feature of the Game Time app is the seat layout. It shows you the exact price around the stadium in each section in a very clean way. They have all-in pricing. Toggling this feature shows you the total up front with no surprise fees at checkouts, the lowest price guarantee, or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code Cincy for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem the code Cincy, C-I-N-C-Y, for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. All right, the infielders. Cam Collier and Sal Stewart headline that, but there's still Victor Acosta, Leo Balcazar. I mean, that is a talented infield. How excited are you to see Cam Collier on a nightly basis with actual broadcasts?
I can't wait. Sal Stewart, too. I'm very interested to see how they kind of deploy that infield like you talked about. There's going to be they all play the same position. So Sal and Cam kind of play third. Are they going to play Stewart some at second? Are they going to play Collier some at first? So, like, it'll be interesting to see how they kind of handle that. But one guy, you mentioned Leo Balcazar there. I love that he tore his ACL like the 10th game of the year last year in Daytona. He was having a really, really strong start. So I'm happy they're starting him in Dayton. I think that shows a lot how they feel about him. I'm very, very high on him. He's a really, really smooth defender at shortstop. Has put up monster numbers throughout his minor league career so far. So super excited to see Balcazar more kind of up close and personal there. And hopefully he can bounce back well from that ACL tear.
All right. And then the outfield, Jay Allen, looking for a big bounce back year from him. Dealt with a lot of injuries last year. Carlos Jorge, a prospect, absolutely on the rise. Hector Rodriguez, maybe even more a prospect on the rise. And then Ethan O'Donnell, I think he had an OPS over 1,000 down in the Florida State League, which is unheard of in that league. That's a heck of an outfield.
Yeah, honestly, you couldn't probably handpick my three favorite prospects in the outfield than O'Donnell, Jorge, and Hector. So, man, that's a fun group. And it's interesting they listed Jorge as just an outfielder. I think that's probably pretty notable. He's kind of making a transition to center field from second base here. And I think they're doing that because he's a really good athlete. Like, I think they kind of felt like they were not wasting him at second base, but he's too athletic to play second base. We'll say that. So Very interested to see. There was really good reviews on him playing center field last year. He split time there. So I think he'll probably still play some second base, but I think they really kind of want to make that full transition to center field for him. And he's always been one of my favorite prospects. I think anybody that's followed me has been hearing Carlos Jorge's name since probably 2020. So excited to see him continue to progress. And same with O'Donnell, like you mentioned, and Hector and those guys.
All right, Dayton, they'll get underway 7:05 Friday night against Lansing. They have a quick three-game series before they head out on the road. They'll be back against Fort Wayne starting on the 16th for a full six-game series. I think most of these minor league affiliates are doing a short three-game series just to start the year. But look, if you are in the Cincinnati or you're in the Dayton area, get up to Dayton at least once and watch this team. I don't think you'll regret it. Take your kids, and I think you'll have a lot of fun because – you might in 5 or 6 years go, hey, we saw that guy that's in the big league club on a minor league team. I don't think you're going to see a minor league team better than the Dayton Dragons. I mean, I don't want to say ever again, but you're not going to see teams like this very often. All right, the Daytona Tortugas, last but certainly not least. Not a whole lot of pitching names, to be honest, Bryce, that I'm familiar with. Who stands out to you there?
Yeah, to answer your initial question, your thought of the guy that's going to be popping up all the time, and that's Adam Saranowski, big left-handed arm from South Carolina. They drafted in 21. Love his stuff. Love what he's able to do. He's got legit strikeout stuff from the left side. He's funky, throws hard, got really, really good breaking stuff, good action on it. So excited to see him. Kind of, I think we'll usually get a couple games a year, and hopefully we can see him on those. But yeah, not a ton of names, a lot of young guys. Ben Bruddy is a guy they signed for a pretty decent amount of money here recently. Anier Laureano is a guy that our boy Reds fan Brandon has pointed out in the past. He reminds you so much of Jordan Ventura. Unfortunately, rest in peace from the Royals a couple years ago. He's electric, does 100. Really good slider as well. So it's a very a lot of question marks as a whole. You don't really kind of know what you're ever going to get from low A pitching, but some upside guys there for sure.
All right, the guy that I'm most excited about on this team is, of course, Alfredo Duno, the catcher. I assume he'll probably DH a lot too. But man, just looking really forward to seeing this guy. He was at the complex all of last year. He is a massive, massive dude from seeing him at the spring breakout games. And he is a guy that when you're talking about ceilings, in my opinion, of the minor leaguers, he's one of the top couple, I would say.
Yeah, without a doubt. And there's the concerns of him moving positions have kind of been lifted a little bit. He's throwing. He's looked really good this spring from everything I've heard. The Baseball America guys were actually talking about him the other day about how impressive he is and how excited they are. The Reds don't skip the Arizona complex a lot, and him skipping it fully coming from the Dominican Summer League is a testament to him and how much they believe in him. So just 18 years old and going right to high A, I really like that. And honestly, I'm making an assumption here, but I think it might have to do with the fact that Connor Burns, the other catcher on this team, is a really, really high-level defensive catcher. And I don't know if they want him to kind of learn from him and kind of see how he works. He's a college guy. He's a pro already. He's been in Daytona last year. So I think that may have something to do with it. But, yeah, I'm super excited about Duno. I think that he's a guy that we're going to look up, and he's going to be littered on top 100 list here in the next year or so.
All right, the rest of the offense, guys that stand out to me, Ricardo Cabrera, Carlos Sanchez. He was the guy when I talked with Trey Hendricks, said he's the guy to watch out for. That could be a real prospect on the rise this year and the years to come. Either talk about those guys or anyone else on offense that kind of stands out to you.
Yeah, those two guys are definitely the standouts in the infield for sure. I really like both their hit tools. I think that's something that the Red system kind of lacks a little bit is some high contact guys. And I think both of those guys have the capabilities of being of high level contact average oriented hitters. So I think it'll be a good challenge for both of them. And another guy too, I really like Jack Moss. They drafted him last year out of Texas A&M. He's an 11th round pick, I think, but had a really good showing in his brief time in the in pro ball. It hits the ball hard. It is another contact oriented kind of bat first guy. So we'll see how that full lineup shakes out. I'm excited about the outfield as well. I know you're probably going to run over that here shortly, but Esmith Pineda, a guy that Trey mentioned on the pod with you. I'm excited to see him kind of get full game reps. I think he's been hurt a little bit, so we'll see. That's a lot of ceiling on that team. A lot of guys that are maybe fresh in pro ball some and trying to make their mark. So that's always exciting.
Yeah, two other guys in the outfield: Ariel Almonte and Yerlin Confidon. Hopefully, I said those gentlemen's name right. Two guys that I think were kind of on the rise, but I kind of had rough years. I think both guys suffered some injuries last year that kind of set them back.
Yeah, Almonte especially. Confidon's kind of bounced a little bit between Dayton and Daytona. I think he's been in that kind of realm for a couple of years, but he's got crazy power. He'll post some 110, 111 exit velocities. But yeah, I really like Ariel Almonte. I think his issue last year, he almost had like a hitch in his swing. Every time I'd watch him, it was almost like he would like hitch first and then swing. And I think it caused him some issues. And from what I've seen, they've worked on it and they've kind of worked out a little bit. And he's only 19. So, I mean, him repeating Daytona really isn't a big deal. I think that happens more often than we think. So, yeah, those two guys are like a super high upside. If they put it together, those are guys that are definitely going to pop.
All right. The Daytona Tortugas, they'll get underway 6:10 Friday night at St. Lucie. And what is exciting about when you play St. Lucie? It's on MILB TV. They are one of, I think, just a couple teams that broadcast. And actually, so all three games this weekend are supposed to be broadcast. And then their third series, which is a full six-game series at Bradenton, they are also a team that broadcasts. So looking forward to that. This year, last year they started this. If you're kind of someone who wants to follow along on Reds minor leagues a little bit, if you do get MLB TV, you select the Reds as your favorite team, which I'm assuming anyone that's listening to Chatterbox Reds probably has already done that. You can actually watch the games on your smart TV. Only the Reds, they'll actually pop into that MLB TV app. And actually also I think on most smartphones they do as well. Correct me if I'm wrong there, Bryce. But you can also this year, one thing that's cool, last year, if you got like a MLB TV free package, like I got mine through T-Mobile, they wouldn't let you do the games on MILB TV. They wouldn't give you that for free. You only could do it on the app. Well, this year they are allowing you, at least so far. And I think they've merged them or something. They've merged the accounts so you can actually watch them on the internet. So if you're someone who's got MLB TV, I think, Bryce, you maybe only have to buy the radio package to get the minor league games.
Just like if you have the at-bat subscription, I think it's like $5 a month or something like that, you get MILB.
Yeah. So, yeah. So that just, a little bit of how to watch these if you're someone who wants to watch a little bit of it. Of course, Chatterbox Reds will try our best to recap the games every night and tell you about the prospects on the rise. I know I rely on Bryce Spalding and Reds fan Brandon a lot. Those guys, they cover Reds minor leagues great, posting highlights every night on their Twitter accounts. And Bryce, I can't thank you enough for all the help you've given me to kind of help learn some of these guys. And I'm looking forward to watching some Reds minor league action. Maybe not as exciting as the Ellie De La Cruz era, but there's a lot of really good prospects to watch.
Yeah, for sure. It definitely you go through waves in minor league baseball, definitely. And whenever you lose as much talent as the Reds have, it's definitely going to take a hit, but still very, very exciting. I'm excited about this system. It's still I would argue it's a top 10 system in baseball still, even with the guys they've graduated. So yeah, there's a lot of exciting things. I think it's a high upside and a high floor system in a lot of ways. So I think we're going to really start seeing the benefits of that come through Cincinnati as well.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Bryce. Appreciate you coming on as always. All right, well, the Reds will start a 7-game homestand on Friday night against the New York Mets. Game time 6:40 p.m. This game is on Apple TV Plus. The other games will be on Bally Sports Ohio. Reds come in, of course, 4-2. Mets come in just 1-5. Pitching matchups for the series Friday at 6:40. Hunter Green up against Jose Quintana. Saturday at 4:10, Nick Martinez against Luis Severino. And then Sunday is at 1:40, Andrew Abbott against Sean Manaea. Well, the Mets lost their first five games of the 2024 season before finally winning the second game of their doubleheader yesterday. In fact, the Mets actually went 13 consecutive innings without recording a hit against the Tigers yesterday. That went from the sixth inning of the first game to the eighth inning of the second game, but the Mets were able to come back and win that second game. In fact, the Mets are the only major league team in the last 50 years to go 13 consecutive innings without a hit on a single day. The Mets, they've had a tough start to the season, not just the 1-5 record, but they've already had three games postponed because of rain. They were postponed on opening day and then two consecutive days against the Tigers. Mets did have to use eight pitchers in the first game of their doubleheader, but the second game they only had to use two, so they got some really good pitch efficiencies from two guys yesterday. The Mets, they were swept by the Brewers to begin the season. In that series, the benches cleared when Jeff McNeely took exception to a hard slide into second base from Rhys Hoskins. Might have saw the highlights from that. The next day, Mets reliever Johan Ramirez was ejected when he threw at Hoskins. The Mets, they've had some ugly early season offensive run totals. They've scored 1-6, 1-0, 3-2 runs in their six games, and they rank dead last in MLB in average, only hitting a .173, and their OPS is only .538. In fact, the Mets only have 9 extra base hits on the season. The Reds, on the other hand, have 27. Just a couple really brutal starts to the season. Francisco Lindor is 1-24. Brandon Nemo is 1-21. Jeff McNeil's 1-15. DJ Stewart 0-9. Omar Narváez 0-6. And Joey Wendell is 0-6. So you don't really love seeing those numbers because you know they have nowhere to go but up. Hopefully they hold off for another couple days. Despite the 1-5 record, though, the Mets pitching staff has actually been really good. They have the NL best ERA at 2.37. Mets have the highest payroll in Major League Baseball. Might be hard to believe, considering they're kind of like half in a, not really a rebuild, but they're clearly trying to rebuild from within while making some more smaller signings. But their payroll sits at $308.5 million. Still paying Max Scherzer over $30 million this year. Justin Verlander, $25 million. James McCann, $8 million. Last year, Reds went 4-2 against the Mets. They won both of the two series. But this is a kind of a wild stat. Reds are just 24-39 all-time against the Mets at Great American Ballpark. All right, some Reds notes going into this series. Reds, they're 4-2, of course. Their best start since 2021. Reds are tied with the Brewers for the most stolen bases in Major League Baseball with 11. Reds tied with the Guardians for the most triples in Major League Baseball with 3. Spencer Steer, he comes in 7th in Major League Baseball on average, hitting .435. 10th in on-base percentage, he's at .480. 7th in slugging, .739. And 5th in OPS, over .1200. Will Benson is tied for 2nd, and then will be with 4 doubles. Nick Martini tied for 5th. With 9 RBIs. Ellie De La Cruz, he is tied for the 4th most strikeouts in Major League Baseball. Ironically enough, one player gets tied to a lot. He is tied with O'Neill Cruz, also has 12 strikeouts. Will Benson right behind him with 11. And one really fun note, despite not having a plate appearance this season, Bubba Thompson is tied for 3rd in Major League Baseball with 3 stolen bases. He is a perfect 3-for-3. All right, Friday starting pitching matchups for the Mets. It's Jose Quintana. He is 0-1 with a 3.86 ERA. Quintana is in his 13th career season. He's thrown over 1,800 career innings now. Kind of wild to think about. Really solid career. He's got a 3.74 career ERA. And only Max Scherzer, Zach Greinke, Justin Verlander, Clayton Kershaw, Madison Bumgarner, and Gerrit Cole have thrown more innings than Quintana since 2012. He was the Mets opening day starter. Against the Brewers, he went 4 2/3 innings, gave up 6 hits and 2 earned runs. He's been really good against the Reds in his career, 5-4 with a 3.03 ERA in 13 starts. He's been even better at Great American Ballpark, career 2.93 ERA in 5 starts. And then last year, his only start against the Reds, he allowed 2 runs in 6 2/3 innings at Citi Field. Some Reds against Quintana. Damer Candelaria, we're hoping that he could be back in the lineup. He is 3-for-7 with a double. Santiago Espinal is 2-for-2. Stuart Fairchild, 2-for-4. Jonathan India and Spencer Steer are each 1-for-6. All right, for the Reds, it'll be Hunter Green coming off a okay start. His first time out in the Reds' second game of the season. He went 4 2/3 innings, gave up 2 runs, 4 walks, and struck out 7. He's got a career 6.06 ERA in 3 starts against the Mets. Pete Alonso has bit him twice. He's got 2 home runs against Green. Harrison Bader, Francisco Lindor, Brandon Nimmo, and Tyrone Taylor all have a home run against Green. Although in Lindor's case, he's only 1-for-8 overall. Well, thanks so much for listening today to Chatterbox Reds. Appreciate all your support. If you've not subscribed to Chatterbox Reds, wherever you listen to this podcast, make sure you do this now. New podcast the morning after every single game this season. And usually when it's a weekday, we'll do a bonus podcast previewing the series or talking with Bryce or something along those lines. If you haven't left us a 5-star review wherever you listen to this podcast, make sure you do that as well. That really helps us out. I would greatly appreciate that. And even more importantly, tell a friend about Chatterbox Reds and what we do here. Again, I would really appreciate that. All right, Chatterbox Sports on YouTube, Off the Bench, 10 a.m. to noon. Be sure to check that out. We also have now Kinner and Kev Show. That is a radio show from 1410 Wing AM in Dayton. We are simulcasting that on Chatterbox Sports on YouTube. That runs from 3 to 5, so a lot of content for you during the day. And then, of course, Chatterbox Reds live on YouTube after every Reds game. We'll be live, I think, about 9:10 or so on Friday night. Well, hope that you have a fantastic Friday. Hope you have an even better weekend. And most importantly, go Reds.